Hello, podcast friends. I'm Anastasia, your host. Welcome to IT Coffee Break. And we are recording in a cozy podcast studio here in Magenta Podcast Studio in Prague 4. And my co-host for today is Alex Supronov, senior designer at EPAM. Hi, Alex. How are you today?
Hi, Nesta. I'm really glad to be the member of your podcast.
And so good you could join. Let's start with a super quick this or that game.
Okay.
I ask a question and you choose one answer you like the most between the two. Tea or coffee?
Coffee, definitely.
Definitely. Okay. UI or UX?
UX.
UX. Okay. Figma or Adobe XD?
Definitely Figma.
Right. Okay. Number four, posters or infographics?
That's a tricky question. I would say infographics.
Infographics, right it is. And last one, music, playing or listening to?
Playing.
And what would that be?
I played guitar in my past.
With that, we are moving to a very serious talking, myth-busting talk and some blind sports and myths we are going to debunk today. And I think the most popular myth, UI equals UX. How do you feel about that?
Well, you said it right, just because it's like most frequently asked question. So I would say that in general, it's a myth, and I'm gonna explain why. You're currently looking at me, right? And you can see the skin, and this could be the UI and in comparison with the digital products. But the skeleton inside and the muscles, it's a UX. It's like the informal explanation. And usually most of the people, they can see that differentiation between these two terms. But in design and in a digital world, we'll usually know the difference.
Okay, and what is it?
So UX is mostly focused on the user scenarios to solve the problem, but UI is something that you can see, like the product surfaces. It's all about the buttons, the toggles, the interface that you can see at the beginning when you're interacting with the digital products. But the UX is something more deep. It's the main logic of the business or of the whole scenario that was established as the main idea of the digital product. So it's definitely a myth. But nowadays we have some designers who start to question this statement, like that it's not equal, because currently, like UI designers, they also need to be familiar with the main design principles which UX designers use, and they need to provide the design solution, which in turn should correspond to the UX design solution that was provided at the beginning. So it means that they need to be familiar with the main development processes. And they need to keep the product like consistent with all design solutions, which I would say means to be the UX designer in general. So I would say sometimes it becomes equal, but in general, it's a myth. So it's different things.
Thank you so much for that explanation. And as you were mentioning some principles, I would ask you here, do you have some kind of must-have rules? For example, 2x tap or 3x skip or anything like that?
Yes, we have many different approaches that we use in like most of our design solutions. You can like find the different sources from the internet. You can watch it from the like workshops or from the articles from the famous designers. I'm not gonna like say anything from this, but most of the time, and I guess that every UX designer is familiar with a heuristic overview, which we do for like existing products to understand what we can improve, what should be better, and where is the pain points for our users. It's like verbally established points which we need to consider every time we see the new product, and just to understand what should be improved if we have this the case. So we have a heuristic overview, we have some like law, like Paul Fitts law and something like this. So I would say yes, yeah, we have some rules and you need to be familiar with them, definitely.
I see, thank you for that. But you do the interviews with our potential e-palmers. What would be your recommendations on that point? What rules do you really need to show? What skills do you have to show during the interview?
You probably know that the process of enrollment in our company and the process of the interview is like pretty complex. And we are preparing for each interview like properly from our side as a designers, but every role in the EPAM, we have like special rules or special questions to be asked during the each interview. But talking about the design, it's like required for every candidate to prove that you have like certain skills depending on what grade you are applying for. You definitely need to have a portfolio showing your previous project and showing your experiences, showing the cases. And you also need to be well experienced in presentation, because the presentation is the one of that crucial soft skills that we are checking from each candidate. So I would say like the least of that points that you need to go through is the having the portfolio. Be ready to answer the questions, be ready to imagine the specific case which you could have in your future project. And also, like, if you're applying for the senior grades or higher, you definitely need to prove the artifacts that you have created previously from your past projects. Your design activities should be also proved in your portfolio, and this is like really crucial.
And that drives basically to the second major statement. As you were mentioning, a portfolio and a lot of soft and hard skills. Basically, what do you say to the point that UX is incredibly expensive, meaning time and money? Is it really so?
I would say it's myth, but also with a context. Because everyone familiar with digital products nowadays, we have it everywhere. And these products usually are produced by the huge companies or startups. And each of these companies, they have UX designers. I cannot imagine any of the digital products that I'm interacting with every day, which experience hasn't been aligned with a designer. Just because it becomes really crucial, since the design principles that we apply for each user experience is trying to cover several goals. It could be the goals of our users to make them satisfied, and this experience will help them to reach their goals. This is the reason why they use our products. And the second part, which is also crucial for ourselves as a company, this solution, design solutions that we provide as a user experience could cover the business goals. So this is like value for everyone. And simply saying, we can highlight that more satisfied users you have, more value you get from that. So saying, I'm not like the best person to say how much will it affect to not have a designer on the like in a company when you're working on the digital product in terms of time and money, but I would say that it's something which is really required to have a designer while you're working on the digital product.
Talking about that, so about digitalization, basically one of the trends now is to develop fast, but still a very high quality, right? So basically, what do you think about these trends as design ops and experience consulting? Do we use this approach at EPAM as well?
Yes, we have all of the things related to the design operations. And not so far ago, we also extended our roles in our company. So we have more domains in terms of design, like space design or like game design. It was something new at the beginning of the year, but now we have a special role, so like people who is only responsible for this part of design, which is also great.
Now moving to the third myth, also a very common one. UX is like everyone's cup of tea, so everyone could do it. How do you feel about that, being a professional?
finally, I can say it's a truth. It's definitely truth. Because I still meet some people who is not familiar with such term as user experience, UX. But when I start to explain it deeply, they all saying something like, oh, this is something about my smartphone. So they saying that they know what it is when you explain it in a simple way, saying that this is anything like digital products or maybe physical stuff that you have around, like in your kitchen or any instruments that you use like daily if you're like a worker somewhere. And I know that they're pretty familiar how it works, but they do not know who is responsible for creating this experience that we provide behind the all instruments, the physical stuff or digital products, if we talk about the digital products. Because we produce it at EPAM, we develop that. And all of the things, they have like scenario or like instruction, literally saying how to use it. And everywhere we can provide the best way to use it. So it means in terms of digital products, this experience could be improved or like initially was created by UX designers.
Okay, moving on to the fourth myth, UX is driven by technology.
Well, it's a truth, but we need to elaborate again. As I previously noted that UX, user experience, is everywhere. So saying that it's driven by technology means that it's probably related to something which involves the technology and this experience. So it's probably about the digital products, right? So let's park this statement here and elaborate. I said the truth because I believe that UX designer needs to be familiar with technologies because we develop the digital products, right? So it means that this designer should follow the trends because they provide design solutions which are like related to the technology. And the designer also need to know or understand whether its design solution is possible to implement by developers. Knowing the code, for example, being familiar with technologies means being able to provide the solutions which could be easily implemented by development team. And it also should correspond to the UX design solution, which was provided initially, like within the wireframes. Yeah, I would say it's driven by technology, but in the digital world, all of that things which are outside could be driven without technologies, you know.
Talking about collaboration with developers, you mentioned coding. Do UX designers really need to know how to code?
It would be definitely a plus for each designer.
Do you code?
I do, and I actually did in the university. I was like studying the C++ or like main HTML principles or CSS or something like this. I always say something like this because they also like new technologies. They're improving every day, I guess. But I only like familiar with the main principles and how it looks or how I can use it while trying to propose the new design solutions or I'm preparing the handoff process for the development team. So I would say, yeah, it's a plus, but I guess not in terms of the languages, the programming languages, but as for HTML or CSS, it's definitely required for each designer because like you can do the overview for the existing products and you can simply explain it to the developers what is wrong and how it should be fixed just by looking at that initial part of the code or styles that they use. It's not complicated, I would say, because it's not like that principles from the programming languages, but you definitely need to be familiar with this just in order to understand what's going on from the development side and what they're saying and what they are talking about.
Right. Once again, another myth or truth that is pretty popular, you know, that it is very easy to start a career, to switch into a career of a designer. I think you partially started to answer to that because if you know coding, it is not that easy, it seems. But still, what are your thoughts about that? Is it easy to find a job as a designer and switch to this role?
Well, let's split it into two parts. For the first part, I'm going to say that it's not very easy to like get the design job in our company just because you had to have an experience background. So we're done with the first part. For the second part, I'm going to be honest saying that it's possible. It's not a big deal to become a designer, but we always have a context, right?
Sure, so. We got that from your fifth answer so
yes.
far.
And by the way, we also covered that part with the interview process
Agreed.
That we have.
Mm-hmm.
So we can imagine how it's going to be throughout the whole process of enrollment in our company. But yeah, to become a designer, it's not that hard. But in order to consider yourself as an experienced designer, as a professional, you definitely need to have an experience background. You need to have the projects from the past. And as I also have mentioned previously, that you need to have a portfolio proving that knowledges and the previous activities that you had in your past. But what I would suggest to everyone is that if you have a chance to get a mentor or someone who is more experienced in the design in general, who could help you to get more experienced, that would be the great moment where you can get that first experience and become a real professional. For example, in our company, we have several ways to start your design career. First, we have a huge learning platform where we provide the different courses for each domain, actually, not only about the design. So you can get more experience from these courses. Or if you're not a designer at all, you can start your design career from there. And the second, that we have a global mentoring program at EPAM.
Are you a mentor yourself?
Yeah, I didn't have a mentor, but I am a mentor currently. So.
Yeah, and how do you work with your mentee?
This is what I wanted to explain, that every mentor who's like involved in this program, we as mentors, we provide the like individual educational plan for every mentee. We're helping them to answer the main questions that they could have from their current projects or from the past projects, maybe. We're helping them during the whole period of time what we have established for this program.
And how much is that usually? And how many hours do you spend per week?
You can like define what is the most appropriate time for you and how much time you could spend for this. For example, I usually do 2 or 3 calls for like 1.5 hour for my mentees.
Each week?
Each week, yes. Because I know that what I'm experienced in, and I can like share my knowledge for this particular skills, it's like required to do the workshops or like the long lectures that I need to prepare individually to explain how things work. I usually prepare the educational plan for my mentees. They do some tasks, they ask questions, they're trying to apply it on their current projects. And then it's really satisfying to see what results that they can achieve or how you get the positive feedbacks from them. And you becoming sure that this educational plan could work for everyone who decided to start a design career. So I would say that this program, it's something very valuable for everyone, not even in the case when you decided to switch to the design career, but even if you decide that you have gaps in your knowledge and you need someone's more experience to share the knowledge or like to fill this gap, this is the good moment because you can find the person who is more experienced in that skills and they will be ready to provide it to you.
Plus, as you mentioned, design is everywhere. So this is a skill that literally we need.
You know that I'm always saying, maybe it's off the topic, but I'm always saying that principles that we use in our work, it's not only related to the development process or to the design and the digital world that we use in our work. It's like the life principles. Because most of that principle, this is something like psychological stuff. And while we trying to catch like the insights from our potential users or from the current one, when we're trying to define the pain points, it's everything that you can do actually in your real life when you collaborate with someone or when you have a conversation with your siblings, for example. And this is like very valuable to be familiar with our principles.
Absolutely agree with you, but can't but ask here, you know, what about AI? Do you feel that your job could be, you know, changed by AI? Or maybe it would be possible that AI would do the job for you?
I was expecting that you will avoid this question, but now we face that. Okay, so this is, this is a like very serious question nowadays.
Because I have seen on LinkedIn that you were reading about that. So.
Yes, you're right, because I'm really curious now to, I'm trying to understand what would be the effect of artificial intelligence in the future for in design or like in digital world in general, because it's nowadays it becomes more popular to use it or to find a way to use it in the digital products or in any other domains. And as you mentioned, that it could really replace someone in their duties, like a work duties or any others. So saying that from the design perspective, I'm partially agree that it could be, some of our activities could be replaced with algorithms so far. And it's like, it's true. But since we are talking about the digital products which have been developed for the human beings, I would say that the full replacement of involvement of the human beings in the development process could not be replaced fully. Since it was developed only for humans, they are not able to replace us.
And I love that.
Yeah, and I would also say that it's pretty time-consuming process to replace with the artificial intelligence, to replace our involvement. So maybe we're not going to waste time to discuss that now and waiting for that tipping point.
Okay, I got you. We are going to have a sequel. Okay. Is there any misconception or myth you would like to share with our listeners? I missed.
Well, I guess you covered the main myth that we could have and we can receive from anyone. This is like the most common questions.
Back to you. So what's your working day look like?
It depends, actually. Since I'm like, currently I'm not only the designer, but I'm also like resource manager. Previously I was mentor. I also said that I was working as a mentor. And sometimes if we have like a program, the mentoring program going currently, I'm usually working that educational plans for my mentees. If I have that stuff that needs to be done from my side as the resource manager, I'm working with my pool. Also, if I have like a deadlines or some critical stuff to be done from the project perspective, I work as a designer. I would say that it's also a good like soft skill to estimate your time. And I'm like talking about myself, sometimes I really struggle in how much time I need to spend for each of this part. So yeah, this is like probably my pain point. But I'm trying to deal with this and find the best way to estimate my time properly and to be able to manage my time how it should be.
Right. Thank you so much for that. And how many cups of coffee do you drink throughout your normal working day?
Usually it's one cup of coffee every morning. I really drink every morning, except maybe weekends. But when I wake up, I like drink water, do the exercises, and I go outside to get a coffee when I'm working from home. But when I'm working from the office, that's completely different story, because there I can drink two or three cups of coffee and then...
Thank you, Alex, for this quick chat. And we thank Magenta Podcast Studio for this amazing sound. And stay tuned for the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.